It's all connected.
Grimnir and Cirque. Yeah, baby, it is all connected. And I am Grimnir, and I am here with person that's not paying attention.
No, I am.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to say your name.
Yeah. No, I'm Cirque.
Cirque. All right.
Cirque.
So anyway, well, actually, yes, this is the It's All Connected show. It's Monday, September 7th, 2020, live on reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz. Yeah, I added in the Cirque factor into the intro there, so... So anyway, we are calling today's show on this Labor Day here in the US of A. The violence inherent in the system.
Yes.
And we will be talking about that, but we're going to start off, because it is Labor Day, talking about Labor Day. So.
And they're perfectly good connected, though.
Oh, absolutely. I'm giving you the Labor Day information from a website called timeanddate.com, which is basically a calendar site.
Yes.
But they provide some good stuff here. So according to this website here, Labor Day is a federal holiday, and it falls on the first Monday of September every year. It was initially organized to celebrate labor unions and their contribution to the United States economy, or their detriment, as the case may be. So it says Labor Day is a public holiday. It's a day for the general population, the serfs, and schools, and most businesses are closed. Labor Day weekend, all government offices, organizations, and many businesses are closed. Many cities, towns, and neighborhoods organize and hold public celebrations such as fireworks displays, picnics, and barbecues. You have fireworks on Labor Day? Okay. Many residents take advantage of the long Labor Day weekend to take a last summer trip. Because of this, there may be traffic congestion. Not this year. Traffic congestion on highways, because we got the corona factor involved. There may be traffic congestion on highways and airports. Public transit systems do not usually operate on their regular timetables. So it's the last break. Okay, now, this is a little thing here that's changed since I was a child, because it says here it's the last break before school starts, which was true for me when I was in school back in the day, high school, elementary school, junior high. Now they start out in the beginning of August, so I don't know how that works anymore, but it says for students, Labor Day is the last chance to take a break before school starts again for the fall season. It says the American football season begins on or around Labor Day, again, not this year, and many teams play their first game of the season during the Labor Day weekend. So I don't even know what football NFL is doing this year as far as that goes. As far as I know, there was no preseason, which generally leads up to the first game. So, anyway, it says
I used to think the NFL was a closed brand.
Well, right?
I saw the sweatshirts and their merchandise, right? That's pretty much.
Yeah.
What
they're heavy in the merchandising. Kate says the NFL starts next week. This says it's a day for workers. So that's how they could see. They don't consider you people. They consider you workers, voters, taxpayers, citizens. Well, they got all kinds of names for you, but they don't consider you as people. You have to fit into several categories, people not being one of them. Anyway,
at least right back in Rome, right? They were honest, and they just call you proletarian.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or called us proletarians.
Well, that was in Russia.
Oh yeah. But the word proletarian means does not own anything. only has value because of offspring.
Right. As or Duff or whatever points out, human resource, plebs. So it's a day for workers. The first Labor Day was held in 1882, and its origins stem from the Central Labor Union's desire to create a holiday for workers. One second. Had a little COVID cough there. Anyway, so it's a holiday. So one day a year, they say, all right, workers, we really appreciate you and your efforts. It became a federal holiday a mere 8 years later in 18 years later, 1894. my math is real good. All right. Originally, it was intended that day would be filled with a street parade to allow the public, you're a member of the public, to appreciate the trade and labor organization's work.
Oh, so the upper public was to enjoy the labor of the workers.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah. This is to appreciate the trade and labor organization's work.
Yes, that's the finer citizens, right?
Oh, you betcha. After the parade, a festival was to be held to amuse local workers and their families. So are you feeling amused out there? Is the bread and circuses working well for you? All right. In later years, prominent men and women had speeches. So those ones that you were talking about, the above, the elite.
Finer.
Yes. They had.
No, I see you got three classes in this already, right? There's the public, and then there's the workers, and then there are the prominent men and women.
Oh, yes. So it says this is less common now, but is sometimes seen in election years. Huh. Imagine that. one of the reasons for choosing to celebrate this on the first Monday in September and not May 1st, like they do over there in the Eurozone, is common in the rest of the world, was to add a holiday to the long gap between Independence Day and in July and Thanksgiving in November. So a little here you go, have a little fun there, one day out of the year. And then they talk about other stuff, and they show you all the Labor Day crap going on. But to me, I was never a fan of Labor Day. Mainly, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't like it because I knew that meant that school started the next day. We started school, the first day of school, on Tuesday every year, the day after Labor Day. And yeah. So, I was not a big fan of going back to school.
You didn't like school?
It was okay. Sometimes it was okay. I didn't really get along with people any more now than I did then. You know, not a fan of groups of people. So some school was okay. I mean, they taught me how to read and write and do arithmetic, you know.
They had a library, man, of thousands of books.
Oh, yeah, library is good because there was never anybody in there, so I could go in there and hang out.
I read so many books when I went to school.
But
I just devoured that whole library.
That's a lot of devouring.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I read books about orchid farming and how to grow this and that. I just loved books.
Yeah. Anyway,
an interesting thing about the Labor Day, though, because I read a little up on Wikipedia, and the English Wikipedia defines it as tied up to the 8-hour day movement, right? People who sorted out how much you need for work and how much you need for recreation and how much you need to sleep, right?
Right, yeah, they'll tell you how to live your life.
Yes, they pretty much, you know, and this was what, in the 1880s, 1870s, right?
Right.
They pretty much decided that a human being is working 8 days or 8 hours, sleeping 8 hours, and recreation for 8 hours.
Right,
and
5 days a week.
And all the lives were sorted out.
Yeah, you bust ass 5 days a week, and then you get 2 days of busting ass at home. especially for those of you that are married.
And just by that, all of a sudden, all the people were normalized, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Now we had a normal, and everything could be normalized, a baseline, and then you can measure from that. Who is not normal?
The main thing for me about Labor Day and the reason I don't like it is directly tied into the labor unions, and I have never been a fan of labor unions.
I am, though.
Now, I know that at a point in time, labor unions were a good and necessary thing, but I don't believe that to be the case any longer. And
I love all sorts of unions. I love the whole idea of unions.
Yeah, I've only worked for two unions, and both of them were when I was working at General Dynamics, which is a weapons of mass destruction manufacturer. When I got hired at General Dynamics, I was working for the Engineers and Architects Association. That was the union in the lab that I was part of. And we were working on the space shuttle program, specifically on the shuttle Challenger, which, if you remember, didn't do too well. It blew up. It blew up in the sky. And so I'd been working there like 2 years for them under the EAA.
So you're building stuff like for the physical vehicle that went space traveling.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't building. I was testing.
Doing
various testing things on it. It was the lab.
Like computerized, or were you with the actual vehicle?
What's that again?
Did you do, like, computer tests on it, or was it physical tests?
Oh, no, physical. But, I mean, computers were definitely involved for controlling a lot of... I worked in the...
And you didn't scratch your initials somewhere on that space
shuttle? I did not. No, that would have been
really.
they would have no. But I worked for the vibration in the vibration and acoustics laboratory. So we would do various tests, vibration, shock, those kind of things, acoustic tests where you'd put the whatever part it was you were testing into a big sound or wind chamber or sound chamber. And you'd blast it with whatever and see how it did. You have to instrument it all.
So you were like a decibel geek then?
Well, yeah, more on the vibration end than the acoustic end. But yeah, so that kind of stuff. And the big fuel tank, it's the big, I don't know what you would call it, egg-shaped piece at the bottom of the booster rocket that lifts it off, that has got the two big rocket motors below it.
Yeah.
You've probably seen it on one of the liftoffs.
And you didn't put like a fingerprint of paint or a little...
No.
Did you put your mark on something that goes to space?
Oh, they were very particular. Let me tell you, one day I was working in this big tower, probably 200-foot tall tower that we had the fuel... thing put up in, what do you call it, the fuel tank put up in, and so I was working way up on top on that, and I was doing this tightening up some packages up there, and I got a little vertigo, which I get from time to time when I'm standing on top of something tall and working on things, and I could see out of the peripheral of my eye, and I get a little ooh. Anyway, I dropped my wrench that I was using, and the wrench went down to the ground. And when it did that, it made a tiny little, like a quarter-inch nick somewhere along the middle of the tank going on the way down. There was a big investigation over that. It was it was like this huge thing. It was like, what are you trying to do? Anyway, so no.
But that could have like taken and it would have spun differently, or a wind would have taken and that would have the whole shuttle.
Whatever. It was a tiny. You could hardly see it. But whatever.
Yeah.
So putting my initials somewhere probably would not have been a good idea.
Okay. At least did you wipe your buttocks off the seat or something, so you just knew that when they took off, they'd be sitting where your buttocks had been?
No, there was nowhere in a fuel tank for buttocks to sit.
Oh, you were in the fuel tank. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that big tank that we had done all that testing and such on, it was kind of interesting stuff, modal testing. Anyway, that big tank had to be flown from where I was in San Diego over to Florida, where they were going to, you know, put it on the booster. So they had this plane. It's called the Guppy, which kind of like hinges open in the middle, and they put the tank in there. So I had to go in there and set up all of the instrumentation that would be monitoring that during its flight on that. So I'd set up all the, you know, various accelerometers and crap like that. So that was you know, the closest I got to ever getting down there. But anyway, getting back to the original point, unions.
Unions, right?
Yeah, right. After the Challenger blew up, coming back down, the project that I was working on was canceled, obviously, because they didn't need any more Challenger part testing since there was no Challenger. So they said, "All right, well, we're going to move you over here to this machine shop. And you're going to work over there and do your work in there." And I was pretty good doing machining. But anyway, so I had to switch from the Engineers and Architects Association Union to the International Something Machinists, American, I don't know, IAM or whatever it was. And that union sucked hard. The EAA was a tiny little union, and the IAM, I think that's what it was. It was a huge union. And so once I got into that or was transferred into that union, they treated all the new people in there just horribly, because all the old guys that were sitting around doing nothing, drinking coffee all day, they wanted to let you know you're nothing.
Yeah, because they earned their special
privilege. Oh, yeah,
right?
And they don't have to. They don't have to work at all. And they any kind of crap job that comes along, you got that. not the AIA, Chloe, the EAA, Engineers and Architects Association.
Well, because unions here are a lot more than just labor unions. We have labor unions, and they're pretty strong, and they are like a built-in check in the system.
Yeah.
But that's because that they negotiate the standard contracts of hiring, right?
All right. Well, anyway, when it comes down to protecting the workers, which is apparently supposed to be the purpose, the main purpose of a union, they don't. They don't. And if you're on the lower rungs of the union ladder, you're a piece of crap, and they will let you know that, and they'll bounce you right out on your ass, and also, if they have a strike, you're screwed. I mean, you're basically screwed. You're out on the street walking up and down with a stupid sign, whether or not you agree with the reasons for the strike, which could be anything to, you know, better wages or whatever. But it's usually something to do with the union management. And the union management goes through and tells you how to vote. It's just like, no good. So you have different stuff going on over there than we have in the labor unions here. So I just am not a fan of labor unions.
But that's because unions to me is so much more than just the labor union.
Yeah, well, that's
here, if three people like sewing hats, they will make a sewing hat union. And they will start sewing hats together, and they will teach how to sew hats. And they
well,
will
how is that not
make
just...
A,
How's that not just a club?
It's a union.
How's a union versus a club?
Because a club, in a sense, well, it comes with some duties, and you get some privileges when you make a union. But it's because, well, what's a club then?
A club is just a group of people that like doing the same kind of things, and they get together and do it.
Well, that's what a union is.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. How's that? But there's no, like, you know, whatever. It's just a club. I don't know. I guess I don't know.
To me, a club is more like it's more of a private thing, where you make a club and you invite some people and they come in.
Yeah, but other people could join.
Yeah, So it's like an open club, but that's for the union for labor czar.
Not really.
People who have something
in common.
Not
really.
That they want to protect and lobby for.
When I started working first at General Dynamics, I did not want to join the union. And they said, well, then you don't have to work here.
Yeah.
And I said, oh.
I understand that. That's like the old school way of doing violence. That's just state government people taking over.
Yeah, well, that's what it basically is. Unions are another level of government put in the middle between you and the real government. So,
yeah. I don't know. I'm in a very, very small union, and they are not. They don't say they have any power or anything, but they're there to help and they know all the legal schmeagle stuff, and they will offer help and guidance in your what choices you have and what rights you have.
Well, I also did not like the adversarial relationship between the union and the management. It seemed counterproductive. How can you be there working for this company, building their things or testing their things or doing whatever it is you're doing, designing whatever, for the company that is basically you're treating as your enemy?
But see, that's the whole war thing. I don't see it that as oppositions. I see labor as a resource, not humans as resources, but I see labor as a resource, right? You have a market you trade it on.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and the employees are selling whatever their labor or their skills or whatever their know-how, and the employers are buying it. And
yeah.
You know that. So, and I understand that if I was there alone, I can choose to go out of contract.
Okay. Well, we couldn't do that here. And well, the one thing is, well, let's say you have a group of people and they're all working, everybody's happy. No union at the place, and somebody gets together and decides to organize. We want to be a union. Now the company has basically two choices at that point. They can either accept the union or shut down the business. That's messed up. That's wrong to me.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Well, that's because when you go into writing laws or regulations and stuff like that, right? I think labor unions and all sorts of unions are pretty much the same as everything else when it comes to power. The bigger you get, by default, you're just going to get corrupted.
Oh, right. And you know, there's been a lot of violence involved with unions in the United States anyway. I don't know how it is over there.
Same here.
Yeah, they want to hold their power and grow their power. Just like any government, you know. Okay, they're talking about you here in the chat, and they says that he thinks you know where Jimmy Hoffa is buried. And Flash says you don't even know who Jimmy Hoffa was. So.
I do. It's some union guy, some corrupt mafia or something. Right?
Yeah, mafia and unions go hand in hand. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's Labor Day. Hooray! Go have a barbecue.
Hooray!
Go have a barbecue.
You barbecue a lot on Labor Day?
I don't, no.
Because that's what I was trying to get to about Labor Day. Not so much the whole origin, but that was interesting too, and I read up on that. But what do you do on Labor Day?
You'd have a day off. That's basically it, you know.
Okay.
This is just whatever you do on your days off. You know, so that's what you do.
So do Marxists gather in big meetings and such?
I don't know. They don't talk to me.
You don't have any Marxists in your town of Moriarty?
No, certainly not here. But,
you don't have the Moriarty Marxist Union?
They would not be accepted.
No.
In Chicago? I'm sure there's tons of them in Chicago. But
yeah.
we no, not here.
No. I don't know. I'm completely biased on this, right? I was brought up, my entire mom's side of the family were union people. My grandfather was a union, and my grandmother was a union worker. They both were part of the Communist Party of Denmark. So I understand
Great.
all the other stuff, all that attributes you put to it, which is really fucking tainted. And it is.
Yeah.
But then there is also just the idea behind, the abstract idea of it, of people coming together to unite forces because they have a common interest.
Right. No, I
And
get it.
that's fucking awesome.
I get the idea, the concept of how unions began in the first place, because workers were being mistreated severely.
Yes,
And
yes.
they were so the unions came together to as a protection against that. But like I said, it's not needed anymore.
No.
There's people realize what all that stuff now. So anyway, enough about unions and Labor Day, I think.
Well, because it ties beautifully into the whole violence, though,
It does.
political
It does. It
violence.
does indeed. And by the
Yeah.
way, but before we go on, I have a breaking news clip here that
Oh.
I'm going to share with y'all on the government.
Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet! But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it.
Yes. Did you know that from my 14, 13 year of age, 14 maybe, I became a member of the political party for Marxism Leninism in Denmark?
I did not know that.
And I spent a lot of years listening to people and being in discussions and debates where people spoke exactly like that.
I bet they
Yeah.
would.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was in the Antifa movement before it became, American.
Okay, well,
Back in the 90s.
but you weren't going around burning down buildings, right?
No, I was back then also very pacifistic, and I did not believe in vandalism as a political meme. But I
Sure.
had a lot of friends, and I was in the environment of people who did. If you take the big black demonstrations that you see right now with all the violence that you see in America,
Right.
which is a typical black bloc way of using political vandalism,
Sure.
I was in there and I have been in many riots like that, but I was in what we called pink bloc, which was about throwing roses and tulips and singing songs and bringing love and peace. But right next to people in black who threw big rocks and Molotovs and other stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Well,
Well, I'm glad that you're more
you know why
rational.
I left that whole movement? Because the political party I was a part of, they became to become too parliamentic for me. They started seeking political influence by compromising. And
Right.
back then, I was really idealistic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, well, hey, wait, you can't change. You can't, because I was an anarchist. And you can't vote your way into changing vote. I mean,
Yeah,
it's just stupid.
the anarchist party.
Yeah, exactly. They were, because they took all the Marxisms and the anarchists and pretty much the nihilistic people, and they put those together. They had a tons of little parties, and they centralized the whole thing, which was like, first of all, you're centralizing. Oh, really?
So you're
How parliamentary of you, right?
an anarcho communist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I started out very Marxistic and to the point of Maoistic. I really believed in the whole thing that you would be corrupted by time alone,
uh-huh.
unless you always constantly, as a society and as an individual, worked on your own revolutionizing all
right,
the time.
Right.
Which is what Maoism pretty much is, right?
Yeah.
That the big revolution never ends, but it got to keep rolling, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so I was a Maoist for a long time because I really believed that. I believed that all adults were corrupted.
Yeah, but I mean...
I was fucking important.
Oh, okay, but being a Maoist, did you look at the actions of Mao versus his people?
Yes, I did.
He was horrible.
Yes, I condemned him as a person completely, but not his political ideas.
His philosophies were okay with you.
Well, yeah, the basics of them, yeah.
Okay. I know, I understand
well,
that.
I believed in making the same chaos and turmoil and creating movement all the time because I just saw how corrupted adults had become, right?
Right. Anyway, so this morning I went through and tried to look up government violence, U.S. government violence, various things like that. And... it's very difficult to find articles on such things. They just not many out there, and people hide them, and they don't want you to know that the government is this violent group. Anyway, I'm gonna share with you this little definition, which is on uslegal.com about state crime law and legal definition. So this is about crimes of the state. It's just a small thing here. It says, state crime means actions that break the state's own criminal law or public international law. For example, genocide, war crimes, tortures, and corruption are state crimes. Since the study of state crime includes the study of the role of organizations in committing, perpetrating, or condoning crime, it is very difficult to give a purely legalistic definition of state crime. Therefore, state crime is not recognized by popular and academic authors. So they tell you right there that it don't matter. They won't recognize the fact that they are criminals, that yeah. they perpetrate these various genocide, war crimes, torture, and corruption against their own people. Or against other people, so state crime is not recognized, and it's difficult to put it in the legal definition, which I found ironically hilarious.
Yes, well, that's because they define whatever everything is.
Right, exactly. It's their little thing, and they don't want to let you know that they. Are horrible and terrible people that do nasty things to everybody in the world, or at least to their own people, depending on, you know, how spread out they are. I mean, a country like the U.S., certainly global reach and global nastiness going on in various countries. I mean, just look at Syria and what they've done to Syria. Syria was never a country with any kind of civil war going on. The people over there were fine, and it was a modern day country, you could walk down the streets just like you would and well, I wanted to say like Chicago, but that's a bad example.
I don't know. To me, it's like if you had a gun that was created by depleted uranium that had constant trigger buttons everywhere that you couldn't see to explode it whenever you touched it. And that was wrapped in barbed wire, so you're pretty sure you're going to hurt yourself if you touch it. And that's your gun for protecting yourself against bad people, right?
Okay.
I need a drawing
of that.
I'm just saying, you have something that is constantly leaking toxic and poison into everything that's around it, right?
Exactly.
And it's got tons of little trigger buttons that you don't know, and you could spend your entire life researching just to avoid them. And you would still probably still trigger some of them, and they can blow up and destroy you completely in every moment, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And next to that, every time you come in contact with it, you're bound to get small scrapes and paper cuts everywhere. Because they're just going to scrape off skin of you whenever they touch you.
Right.
So that would pretty much be how you could define state, though.
I think it's exactly how you could define state.
Yeah. And then in the shape of a gun so that it would protect you if bad people come.
In the shape of it, but it has to also work.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. Sometimes it works. If you can get past all the barbed wire and the trigger buttons, right?
Yeah.
And you haven't died from the poison before something happens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, what did I do? I did that twice. Okay, I don't know how I did that twice. Anyway, you brought up a couple definitions from Merriam-Webster.
Yeah.
That I would like to share with the people before we get into the actual state violence crap, which is apparently undefinable.
Well, because you can't use that gun I just described. You can't use that in a way where it won't harm you.
No, and that's a good thing.
There's no way of doing that.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
There's no way of engaging or being around state without being violated completely by it.
That makes sense, yes. All right, so you brought up first the definition of violence from Merriam-Webster here. And it says, yes. The use of physical force so as to injure, abuse, damage, or destroy. Or an instance of violent treatment or procedure. Then it has injury as if by distortion or profanation. Outrage! Outrage! intense turbulent or furious and often destructive action or force, vehement feeling of expression, fervor, also an instance of such action, clashing or jarring quality, discordance. So that's violence, which is the actions done by those who are violent. And so the definition of violent is similar because it's, on the same track, but marked by use of usually harmful or destructive physical force, violent attack, violent crime, peaceful demonstration turned violent, mostly peaceful as they burn buildings burn behind them, or showing or including violence, extremely powerful or forceful, capable of causing damage. So violent storms, violent coughing, which I don't know how much damage those could cause other than to the person that's coughing. Storms, of course, can go a much wider range. But caused by physical force or violence, not natural, emotionally agitated to the point of using harmful physical force. Aggro, that's being aggro person. Or prone to commit acts of violence, and we see them. They're all running for office, those that are prone to commit acts of violence, notably forceful, furious, or vehement. So that's violent versus violence. And like I said, they're pretty similar.
Would you say that the threat of violence is an act of violence in itself?
Well, it's an act of coercion, which if there's no substance behind that threat and the person that you're threatening realizes it, then no. But if you're standing there with a group of thugs and weapons pointed at me, then yes, that threat of violence is that threat of whatever is an act of violence.
Yeah.
So it depends on the situation. I mean, if some little guy walks up to me and says, I'm going to kick your ass, and I look at him like, nah, I don't think so, then...
But that would be the same if he just came up and kicked your ass.
Well, he would try.
He would kick your ass, and you would go, what are you doing? Don't do that. Go away.
Yeah, yeah.
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, so the threat of violence is, you know, relative to the force behind the violence that you're being threatened with, right?
Yeah, and your realization.
That's exactly as the violence would be if they just did it to you.
Well, and you have, and your realization of what that threat involves, the actual belief and the fact that that threat actually means something, and it's not just some guy spouting off that you can that you can laugh at.
Yeah. Oh, and I really meant to make this point today that to all the people who got really butthurt last week and think I hate American human beings, I do not. I find you people are amazing, and I know you people is not a very good term to use with you people, but I still find you people amazing.
You people.
Otherwise, I wouldn't spend my time with you people, right?
You filthy humans. All right, so anyway, I did find an article on a website that I am totally unfamiliar with, and it's called tutor2you.net, and the article is called State Crimes, and it's written by these two people, Penny Green, Tony Ward, back in 2005. So it says here, state crimes are committed by governments, as they were defined by Penny Green and Tony Ward, as illegal or deviant activities perpetrated with or by or with the complicity of state agencies. Of course, states generally create the laws of their countries, and while governments may break their own laws, it is more likely the case that they are breaking international law, or their actions should be seen in terms of transgressive criminology, causing harm rather than breaking law. A wider range of state crimes may be considered. These can include corruption, a kleptocratic regimes, which is, I think, all of them, robbing their own populations, or human rights abuses, which, again, I think applies to all of them, including very extreme acts such as the Rwandan genocide, which, if you've never seen that movie Hotel Rwanda, oh my God, that is a very, very sad film. So as the Rwandan genocide or ethnic cleansing in the former Yugoslavia, state crimes include, but are not restricted to, corruption, discrimination, funding terrorism, funding organized crimes, war crimes, torture, assassination, and genocide, which the U.S. is sick with all of those, and it's disgusting. Anyway, Eugene McLaughlin in 2001 divided these into four types of state crime: crimes by the security and police forces, which you see on your, well, in the U.S., you see on your streets every day, crimes by those security and police offices; economic crimes, which blowing just pumping out trillions of dollars of fake money is a huge economic crime. I don't know that that's what he's talking about, but it is. It's a crime. It's devaluing every cent that you have. Social and cultural crimes like institutional racism, which is supposedly the basis of the Black Lives Matters, although we know better. So institutional racism does exist and will continue to exist regardless of Black
Lives Matter. A better example of that, because we all know racism is bad, right? A better example of that, because I'm just going to tell you, Denmark is just as guilty of all of these. We're just very much smaller, so we don't look as scary, right? And it never becomes as violent. But the social and cultural crimes, look at how every state treats the anarchists, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because racism is easy, right? That's just stupid and shallow. That's pointless, right? But if you talk to a lot of citizens, and I myself am a citizen, so I talk to other citizens, and one of the worst things, most stigmatized things you can be is a enemy of the state.
Right. Well, see, the thing is, and
that's institutional, right?
In a way. But the state either doesn't really know what anarchism is, or They prefer to use it as a tactic, using the word as a tactic against people that are true anarchists that want no violence.
Right now we are publicly, here in Denmark, right now we're publicly shaming and mocking and, you know, using all the tactics that you do to ostracize a group of people, right?
Right.
Because a few hundred people made a union, about being natural living beings, right?
Right.
And don't recognize all this state bullshit, and they don't want to live under it, and they want to do something else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Those are perceived as extremely dangerous.
Oh, right, because they're not bowing down and licking the boot of the state.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they're getting all the treats. They're being mocked. They're being criticized. They're being, you know, treated as violent terrorists. They're getting all the full-blown, because that is the most scary thing, right?
Oh, right, yeah. It's just bucking the system in any way is bad to them. But, I mean, like, here in the U.S., here in the U.S., that you see all those Antifa people out there are burning all this crap down and destroying cities, and the government, especially Trump, calls them anarchists, and they are anything but anarchists.
Yeah. No, they're high into state, man.
Yeah. And they don't want a place with no rulers. They want a place where they're the rulers, which is absolutely the opposite of the definition of anarchist. But they label all those people as anarchists so they can use that word as a hammer to beat down on anybody that doesn't bow down to the state.
Yeah, yeah. which is again, we're right back to it's structural violence against its own people that just doesn't support the institution of violence, right?
Yes.
Because I am going to define, and I do define state as a monopoly on violence, pretty much.
That is the definition.
The core of it.
That is the definition of state.
Yeah.
It's a monopoly on violence within a specified geographic area.
Which is just fucking nasty. Right?
Yeah. Anyway, on this here, they also go into the what's called the spiral of denial, which is identified as when accused of human rights abuses or other violent, nasty things that they do. First off, they say it didn't happen, and you're looking at it right there on video, and you're saying yes, it did happen, and the state will deny that it ever actually happened, or they say it's not how it looks. You're seeing it differently than it was intended, or how it actually went down, which is craziness, madness, that they can actually convince people that it's not how it looks or that it didn't happen. Or if those don't work, they say it had to be this way because those people, those violent anarchists that just want to control things and get rid of us, oh, they're bad people, so it had to be this way.
And do you know that is the description of what gaslighting is too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's
exactly what abusers do for gaslighting.
The
first they try to tell you I didn't do it, it didn't happen.
Right.
You're insane for thinking so.
And the states are masters of propaganda, which gaslighting is a part of.
Yeah. It's by far. That whole thing, is it people? Is it not? No, it's definitely not people, right?
Right.
But it's a giant narcissistic boil, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And every time it burps or it does something, it just oozes this narcissistic, abusive pus all over everything.
Yes, it's disgusting.
Yeah. And you just, you see these human beings, and every time they open their mouth, it's just pus coming out.
Right.
And you go, wow.
Yeah, it don't matter what their political stripe is, if you're into thinking that there's actually two separate teams when they're really all on the same team. They're
I'm
all
just saying,
gonna...
if you live life as if it's the purpose is to dominate others through your lifetime, if that's your purpose of living and what you think life is, you might want to detox completely in the woods somewhere, on an island or on a beach for a long time
until
you figure out that that has absolutely nothing to do with living.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And you being involved in it, you're just giving away your energy, your power to these people that's the reason they're there. They want to control you, and you're allowing them to do it through your own acceptance of that system.
Yes, and they are advocates of it, man. Right?
Right, and they're basically, you know, they've got you on a leash, or however you want to put it, in a cage, in a corral.
Yep.
Put it however you want. But they have control of you. Once you buy into that mentality, that type of thinking.
Yeah.
So.
But it's just because the whole, you know, that's what happens to people who are being abused.
Sure, yeah. What are they called?
That's exactly what happens.
Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah. And you just see it and you just go, wow, man, they're beating you every day. And all you can think about is, how can I get them to beat somebody else too?
Right. Or how can I get them to let me be the person doing the beating?
Oh, yeah.
Because, and you could look at things like the Stanford Prison Experiment. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I did a show on it some long time ago, but basically was some professor wanted to do an experiment where he took a bunch of college age people into this Stanford prison and set up the six of you are guards and the 30 of you are going to be prisoners and then it's just a play acting thing. We all know this. It's not, nothing's real here. But within a few days of these people becoming the guards, having control over those prisoners, they started abusing those prisoners to the point where one of those fake guards actually killed one of those fake prisoners. They got that deep into this mindset within a very short time. It was a psychological experiment, obviously.
Yeah.
Or the Milgram experiment. You can look at that one. Stanley Milgram, that's another one that you might want to look into if you're not familiar with. But the same kind of thing. They had like a booth and with a person behind a wall.
Howard,
and they said, you're going to sit here and you're going to ask this guy questions. And if he answers the questions right, that's all good and fine. If he answers the question wrong, you're going to hit this button here and it's going to give him a little shock. And every time he gets a question wrong, you're going to turn this up a notch.
The one piece of data I never found about that experiment is the percentage of people that didn't want to participate.
Well, there were those, obviously. I mean, you only went there, you only signed up for the experiment if you did want to participate.
Yeah, but there has to be some people that once you're in it, you know, the first time they say, so this isn't, they were going to, okay, see ya next Wednesday where maybe we eat cake, right?
The cake's a lie.
Okay, I'm going to be in the next social experiment. Could it be something about cake? Because I don't want to electrocute people, right?
Right.
There had to be some of those.
Well, sure, there were, but others were there. They wanted to get their $100 or whatever the hell it was. And so they agreed, I'm just going to sit here. This guy set up, this professor set up this experiment. Everything's got to be right? When they got to the point where the voltage was up high enough that it was actually going to kill the person on the other side of the wall, some of them refused, but others did not. They were willing to go ahead and apply a fatal shock to somebody for a stupid experiment because they were told to in somebody wearing a lab coat, because that person in the lab coat was the authority on the matter. And he said, yes, go ahead, turn that up to the fatal level and shock that person because they didn't know what color a bird was or whatever the question was.
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing to go through with it
because
of that authority was there. Now, when they did the same test with the authority person out of the room, the people didn't do it. But with the authority...
But you see, when you study cults, right, one of the tactics cults do is they break down your own being or your own identity, and then they rebuild a new one, right?
Right.
But that's compatible and in control of the cult.
Sure.
Even there are some of them that even change his names, right? Where you got to be brother something, or, you know, like the Mormons, aren't they called elderly this or brother this and that, and suddenly you're not near your brother near or...
Whatever, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So they completely strip you of who you are and what's the core of you and everything that is being, you know, that you are born with, right?
Right.
I believe that you are born with a tremendous amount of wisdom and you spend a lot of your time forgetting it.
Yeah.
And then eventually at some point in your life, you're going to go, oh, wait, okay, I'm going to have to start working on remembering some of the shit I forgot, right? Because I learned all these other shit.
Yeah.
But you were born with all that. And then that's what state does. From the minute you were born, they start taking it. And they do that in Denmark and they do that in America and they do that everywhere where they're so-called modern and civilized, right?
Sure.
And they just they just break you down, take away all that natural instinct. Doesn't teach you how to build up that natural instinct. And then they break you down and then they build you up as a avatar. It's an avatar.
Pretty much, yeah. You're
and there are people that are living their whole life just being avatars.
Drones.
And they don't understand that inside them, you know, that nagging emptiness that fills them up, that they then have to consume a whole lot of shit, either whether it's food or it's love or it's things or it's money or it's power and all that. It's because they're trying to avoid thinking about that there is a being in there. That isn't an avatar.
Right.
That's a living spiritual being that was born and raised in this universe, given all the wisdom and power of this universe, and that was broken down, right?
Yeah, because you surrendered your freedom of thought. Once you did that, once you said, all right, I don't know what to think or who I am, and I'm going to, I found this guy over here, and he seems to make sense. On the surface in the beginning, and so I'm going to, you know, follow his teachings or whatever.
To give away that kind of power of your own being, you know, in human, you have to do that constantly as a flow. Because the minute you start saying, I am not going to give away everything that's in me, I'm not going to be an avatar, then you can break free of it any minute. It's not like once you gave it to him, it's gone forever. Because it flows.
It's still right? there if you can bring it back to the surface.
You just have to find it. You just have to cut out all that. You pretty much just shut, you know, go detox.
Absolutely. Get out and allow yourself to dig deep into yourself.
Yes.
And I hate to say this. I don't hate to say it. I love to say it. Psychedelics.
Yes.
Psychedelics will get you there in short order. And you will break free from that trap thought, those patterns that you have.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to just mention this because I don't really have time to go through it or anything, but based upon that other article by Green and Ward describing state crimes, this article goes into some more depth and covers things of crimes of security, genocide, and they talk about various places, political crimes, corruption, things like that, state crime and human rights, the scale of state crimes and human rights abuses, and it's a pretty good article. And it's on revisessociology.com back from 2016. But I'll put the link into the post-show blog, and you guys can read that thoroughly if you should so desire. Don't allow me to control your mind.
Stop voting. Stop voting. Don't do it.
Voting. Stop. Voting is violence. Voting is violence.
Voting is violent. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to put subliminal messages in here. Don't vote. Don't vote.
You're a funny one.
Voting is satanistic.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
come on, man. Play it.
All right.
Good thing I didn't say it backwards, eh?
Yeah. Could you speak backwards?
No.
I mean, if you started speaking Danish, I would think you were speaking backwards. So
yeah,
therefore,
no, you think I'm speaking Dutch.
Well, or Swedish, or Finnish.
Yeah.
So therefore, Danish is evil.
Oh, it's evil. Evil. Yeah.
All right, folks.
I don't mind being the evil to the goodness of the U.S. corporation.
Good, that's good. Yeah. That's good. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up here for us for another week, another episode here. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back again next week, won't we?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Okay, so we'll be back again next week. Tomorrow you got the In a Perfect World show with Flash being his solo self. Nothing on Wednesday, but Thursday you get Dropping a Coil. So just check the schedule over there at RealLibertyMedia.com or RLMRadio.xyz and see what's coming up on RLM Radio. And if you want to do a show here on RLM Radio, let me know. You could tell me in the chat. There's a forum on the website. All kinds of ways. If you want to do a show, we'd be glad to have you here along with us.
And I love you, baby.
Me?
Yeah, that's you. Oh. No, Flash, somebody. I love you, Flash.
Oh. Yeah. Darn, I was hoping it was me. All right.
I love you too, Grimly.
I love you too, Sick. And Flash. All right.
And Flash.
And everybody else.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you later. Peace.
Peace.